Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's state of state. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin. So kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoffs especially. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
The 2024 NFL Draft is behind us, and now we have a pretty good idea that a lot of UDFAs and all those types of camp invites seem to have gone out for the most part. Now we can really sift through what Penn State's class of 2024 into the NFL really looks like at this point in time. Obviously, time will tell. And then it's a good chance to reflect on what this talent loss means to the current Penn State football team. So again, like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate us. We appreciate it so much. Follow us on social media, X, Instagram, and State of State, at State of State Pod, as well as TikTok. Justin, I think I want to start there in terms of this is a significant crop of talent that's going to the National Football League, and time will tell how it all fleshes out, who really succeeds, who is a short run, all those things considering. Congratulations to all these young men that have this opportunity right now, and you understand what this feels like. But as you look at the way the chips fell within the draft, did it give you a chance to reflect on what Penn State has lost to the draft and what is still there for this 2024 Penn State football team?
Well, I think we just, the obvious one first is congrats to all the guys that are getting this tremendous opportunity. Some guys getting some money in their pocket. When we think about the two first round draft picks from a defensive end and offensive tackle standpoint with Olu and Chop going first round, I mean, you see how valuable those picks were outside of the quarterbacks in the first round. Just the theme of the draft is offense, right? Okay, we have to have someone that can throw the football, someone that can catch the football. Then we have to have someone that can protect the quarterback, someone that can go after the quarterback. Same thing we talk about from the talent acquisition, from the transfer portal standpoint earlier in the year. But with that, I mean, that's the same thing we got to highlight with this season. We used to talk about the Abdul Carter move up to defensive end to try to fill that void with Chop. And we got to see who's going to step up at that offensive tackle position moving into next season. I know we Landon talked a lot about the offensive line group and the guys that can develop into those core spots. But those two pieces are critical. And then we talk about, you mean, lockdown you. Day-Day gets drafted in the sixth round. Congrats to Day-Day and congrats to Kalen. I know he might be a little disappointed about where he went, just different things. You know, the draft is a funny thing, but he went to an awesome organization, right? And that's the way it kind of builds up your opportunity. I mean, by the time I got on the field, I was on my third head coach. And it's like the guy that drafted me, Linehan, he was gone by week three of my rookie year. Then it was Jim Haslett. He was there that second year. Then he was gone. And then Spag came in. So before I even got a chance to really get situated, you know, the team's in disarray, the owner's getting traded. So there's just a lot of things that happen in the draft, and it's really some luck of the draw. And sometimes there's a blessing in disguise depending on where you go in the draft into the organization. So it seems like all the Penn State prospects landed in good organizations just across the board. But it just shows that there's good, there's ways to be filled. We saw that the corners and the DBs in the spring game are actually a strong suit losing those guys to the NFL. So I think some of the questions are being answered, but it's just really cool to see these guys get an opportunity to go to the next level, especially like somebody like Day-Day and Caden Wallace. Like I vividly remember recruiting these guys out of high school and like what they wanted to do and just staying the course, especially not transferring in this time of the transfer portal and leaving and all this good stuff and seeing the way through to the NFL, man. It's a really awesome thing to see.
We're recording this Tuesday. This will come out on Wednesday. So as of this moment, you still have Johnny Dixon as a undrafted free agent, has not been picked up by a team.
My bad. Adisa Isaac.
I was going to say, we're going to go through all the guys.
We're going to go all of it, but I was just like calling out guys. And one of my dog Adisa, like seeing him get drafted, man, it was just like a very celebratory draft. Even I didn't really care where guys went, but it was really fulfilling to see these guys like finish the job.
Of course. And if anything, it's been proven for decades now, it's not about which round you go in. It's what you make of your opportunity. And the fact that I think you hit the nail on the head, a lot of really good organizations picked up Penn State football players. So that's encouraging. And then I think you touched on something really important there in terms of the defensive backs currently for Penn State. Is the conversation that you have put out there and a lot of other people is like, man, this is a cornerback room that can go six deep. You've got 3-4 safeties that you can trot out on the field. And it sounds like, according to Landon Tengwall and what you've seen at spring practices, is that yes, there will be that, you know, that 4-2-5 look altogether from Tom Allen's defense with three safeties involved. So there's that encouraging aspect of, yes, you lost some talent to the NFL, and people can say what they will about, well, Kalen King was a shutdown corner in the Big Ten, so why does he wind up in the seventh round? It's just so strange, Justin, how these guys get evaluated, because I think for the last 2 years, you and I have certainly looked at this and been like, Kalen is locked down. He is a shutdown corner. Johnny Dixon is one of the best blitzing corners in college football. Got banged up at the Senior Bowl, so that's why he's not necessarily been picked up by anybody right now. It's not a lack of talent for that matter. I think Alex Falcons is still out there as well. Kicker who had a strong year for Penn State last year, and kickers, they come and go in this time of the year, so hopefully he latches on somewhere. But specifically evaluating where Penn State's defensive backs, it feels like an overreaction by fans to say, oh man, you know, Day-Day went in the sixth, Kalen went in the seventh, UDFA right now for Johnny Dixon, and they're like, maybe this cornerback room wasn't as good as we thought it was. And I'm like, no, it just doesn't tell the story.
100%, because you can be productive and very good in college, and we just talk about what the draft means, right? It's just what teams place type of draft capital on that athlete. And so we think about like what they're being evaluated on. I mean, Kalen didn't run the greatest 40 at the Senior Bowl. I talk about speed brings opportunities. Day-Day's an undersized nickelback, albeit dynamic as he is. He got drafted in the sixth round. So, I mean, I don't even think that's like I don't know why anyone would say that's a knock. I can understand Kalen from the preseason rankings and where he was slotted. Johnny Dixon being hurt, that's one thing. But from the preseason rankings from Kalen to now, like there's certain things when you're getting drafted into the NFL where it's a different metric. It's not exactly what you're doing, it's how you're doing, and a kind of combination of both when you're talking about, you know, covering some of the best people in the world. So we talk about judging the athlete. And so some of those things throughout, whether it's the Senior Bowl or the Combine, it just didn't probably work out to his best manner, but that doesn't negate the football work that he's put in. And so, I mean, that's what happens in the draft. And it's just, again, a slot, like a slotting system, because we talk about the best quarterback to play in football is a 6th round draft pick. So it's a very interesting thing about it, because it's not necessarily how good that player is. It's a level of ceiling, investment, need, philosophy of team. There's a lot of things that go about it. And then we talk about just, you see the player life cycle in the NFL, it's just very fluid. So I don't really place any of those labels on like the situations of guys getting picked versus how they are. It's just like, okay, this is what happened throughout this evaluation process. These are the marks. This is what happens.
Looking at specifically, it's like we talked about the corners that and the defensive backs at Penn State lost. The really interesting thing altogether with this draft is the fact that you had three starting offensive linemen from Penn State get drafted. Olufashinu in the 1st round to the New York Jets, Caden Wallace to the New England Patriots in the 3rd round, and then Hunter Norzad, who was a 5th round pick. And it was interesting because James Franklin was talking about Hunter Norzad when healthy last year was one of the best centers in America, in his opinion. And look at the success Drew Scruggs, has gone on to have with the Houston Texans. And not a lot of people were, you know, blowing him up going into the draft process. He was getting some looks, obviously, late round pick, and he's made the most of his opportunity. I think Penn State fans really need to take a step here. And Landon Tangwall hit the nail on the head when he was with us last week, is that, yes, you want to make life as easy as possible for Drew Aller this coming season so that the offense can be better and score more points. That is potentially the best way to go. Leaning on the running game more, I think, is going to be the best way to go. But still, the competition along the offensive line, it's not worrisome yet. You have to see it in action, really, and kind of get a feel for things more so in August, and then September, we'll really know. But there's so much competition at that position across the board. You feel good about the interior. Nick Dawkins, obviously, stepping in to potentially be the starter for his first full season as center for this offensive line. Then you have depth at guard, but it's this tackle spots. And it's like, this is something that Penn State fans are not talking enough about. The fact that you lost Norzad, Fashanu, and Wallace in the way that they did, went to good organizations, it's going to be something to focus on. I know offensive line isn't sexy, but like, it's going to be a big deal in 2024.
No, 100%. I mean, just building a team from the inside out, that's a core piece. We heard Jim Harbaugh, when he took his 1st round pick as a left tackle here in the Steelers, they took a left tackle as well. And just the identity of teams, we speak about it from like, that's how you build it. It's still a physical game at the end of the day, and it starts up front.
It absolutely does. Looking at some of the other draft picks, you mentioned Adisa Isaac. There's a really nice piece on him and his family that the NFL Network has put out there. I encourage people to find that on social and digital platforms, just what he has overcome, what his family has gone through, and especially his upbringing in New York City. Adisa Isaac, ironically, going to the Baltimore Ravens in the 3rd round, and it was Landon who was like, remember Odafe Owe, Jason Owe, when he was at Penn State? Exact same organization picks him. Very, very similar athlete, very similar body type, very similar skill set altogether. And there's just something about John Harbaugh and the Ravens. They just keep adding weapons to that defense. I know we say that about offense a lot, but it's like, no, you're just adding athletic freaks every single year.
No, 100%. Adisa Isaac from Canarsie, Brooklyn's finest. I mean, I remember watching him out of high school, like playing basketball. He was a hooper, about 6'4", 195, broad shoulders, and the way he bent on the football field was unique. And then he just kind of filled out. He had some injuries in the midst of his career. At Penn State, you have someone like Jason Owe, who is more of a physical freak, 4'3", at the size that he is. And like, they are both very dynamic athletes. So it's very cool to see them land in an organization like that, especially with Adisa coming full circle going into the 3rd round. So that's It's a great organization here. Even being here in Pittsburgh, I got to cheer for my guys out there in Baltimore.
I know it's tough for you guys to root for the purple and black, but we're happy for them nonetheless. And then staying with defensive end, Chop Robinson there in the first round, 21st overall pick to the Miami Dolphins. I found that to be an interesting pick because a lot of people were knocking him for like his overall size. And again, we come back to the production stuff, but it's like, oh, you're adding him to a room with Phillips and Chubb already. And again, adding weapons. And it seems like, yes, there's some things that Chop needs to work on, but I like the fit altogether with the Dolphins and a team that's overall trending in the right direction. They just need to step things up on defense to keep up with the amount of points that they score on offense. How did you feel about Chop to the Dolphins?
I thought it was a great pick. I think it's a good organizational fit. I like the interview where he met Coach McDaniels at the beginning. I really like that. But even from that standpoint, like the pieces that you named on defense, like these NFL coaches, man, when you give them weapons like a 4-4 type of DN and his size and those other type of pieces, they can create mismatches where you just highlight one trait that Chop does very well until he has success and builds around it. Like that's what like NFL coaches are really good at doing, are highlighting traits that certain players have so they can get the outcomes that they're looking for. And I think when you mention that, I mean, that's where he probably fits in. He continues to develop, but there are certain traits and things that he has that you can't teach. So goes first round.
Moving forward, Theo Johnson in the fourth round to the New York Giants. They have
Theo.
Darren Waller in place in New York, had some injury stuff and has got some off the field stuff apparently. But Theo Johnson, he just seems like the prototypical build for an NFL tight end. And if you are drafting him to be an inline blocker, that might be a mistake. He is more of a receiving threat, I think, at that level. And you kind of look at him in that he's somewhere in between the guys that he was sharing that tight end room with, Tyler Warren and Brenton Strange. Brenton, a little bit of a thicker build, was able to be an inline blocker and also go out and be an effective receiver. But Theo's just a little bit more nimble, a little bit more athletic, turned up the production last year. Is he going to catch 50 balls for the New York Giants this upcoming year? I doubt that, but he just seems like somebody who fits the NFL mold so well for what the new tight end is. How do you feel?
100%. I think he does fit that mold. He's athletic, big body, like good body control, nice target. I mean, and Penn State tight ends have done well when they transition to the league, so I expect nothing less from him.
Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs just seem to really like this class altogether. So you got Trey Potts, got a mini camp invite. Curtis Jacobs, undrafted free agent, signed to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, as I mentioned, Hunter Norzad before, he went in the fifth round to the Kansas City Chiefs. So just something Andy Reid and company liked about this class altogether. In your experience as a former NFL player and then as an evaluator, how often do these pipelines really get developed? I've seen it in Philadelphia Eagles, Georgia Bulldogs. That's been very, very tight. And the New England Patriots and the Alabama Crimson Tide for a long time. That was obviously recognizable. But is that something that you notice in that player evaluation thing? Is like, yep, we're calling James Franklin. We're calling Penn State.
Well, I think it's more of the association with the head coach. I think there's an expectation of the culture that the head coach sets, that when you're taking in a player, even from college to high school, you're trying to evaluate the infrastructure that player is coming from. You don't really know from a high school player, right? You're just trying to gather information from 10 to 17, 18, or however they're going to come up. But from college to the pros, like NFL teams are trying to deal with, like, all right, how has he been groomed to be a professional or operate within this football business? And so when you understand the head coach's philosophy and culture, they start to bake that into the player. So when you talk about Patriots to Alabama, it's really Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. That's where we understand, we see eye to eye, we see philosophies together. If you understand him, you understand me, right? So I was talking to somebody else, and there was another person. I was like, hey, what about the cornerback from Toledo? And I was like, you think he can go first round? I'm like, of course, man. It's not about the actual school. It's the head coach. Coach Kendall's put a lot of players in the NFL that have been successful. So there's a standard and understanding that coming from that school doesn't necessarily mean he won't be able to be successful because of the culture that head coach has provided. So we used to see a level of symbiotic relationships that you have in coaching philosophies, that's when you start to see the talent acquisition from those teams continue to happen. You see it in high school to college, and you see it from pros to the NFL, because at the end of the day, there's a trust, a working trust factor of dealing with these players and what they're already used to thinking about within this whole football ecosystem and business.
The cornerback from Toledo you're mentioning, Quinyon Mitchell, winds up going to the Philadelphia Eagles, who desperately needed defensive back help. You had Nick Saban on ABC talking about, we were trying to get him from the portal, but he never went into the portal. So obviously, it's such an interesting thing, Justin, and you know this better than anybody with everything you're doing with player evaluation and LIG Sports Group, is just that it's fascinating. It just doesn't matter where you go to school sometimes. It matters the coaching. It matters the development. It matters your comfort with the program, the city. Is your family nearby? Like, what's important to you and what puts you in the best headspace to ultimately succeed, like anything in life? And for Quinyon Mitchell, maybe a bigger school was never going to be the answer. And being in a smaller school, some people have the knee-jerk reaction of like, he played at Toledo. Oh, the competition's going to be all the way up here. And it's like, okay, well, some very intelligent people are out there talking about how, you know, Nick Saban was trying to get you to Alabama. It's like, okay, he doesn't just go get scrubs. It's a pretty glowing endorsement.
I mean, in the same exact sentence, like, there is an evaluation process in place that's more stringent than the typical workforce employee has gone through, where you have to go and compete against people. So they've seen him compete against the best for a week at the Senior Bowl versus DBs from Alabama or Penn State, Michigan, that compete against the same receiver. So you start comparing apples to apples or oranges to oranges, but all evaluation processes get picked apart of not being foolproof 100%, but it's about limiting the misses in the whole situation. So when you think of it from that standpoint of teams protecting their investment, and then sometimes you go all in. We're like, this is a player we have to have, when, from the recruiting standpoint. I mean, you just have to understand like what culture that you fit in, because the whole optimization or talent cultivation process isn't a science and it isn't an art, and it's fluid, right? You talk about the transfer portal, being able to move, being able to stay connected to a coach, being able to develop, like all those things matter. And you're right, that's what we do here at LIG Sports Group. We help cultivate your talent and help navigate the business with the different pieces, where we're not like a trainer where we just kind of stay on the field. We're not like an agent or advisor where we just deal with the business, because like they intersect, and that's where the business gets very tricky, because you get people talking in between that can't touch the other and don't necessarily understand the value when they are connected. And so we're trying to bridge that bridge gap for athletes going through that process, high school, college, into the pros, because we see it's needed. And there's great opportunities out here and risks.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But again, congratulations to all the Penn State players that just got drafted or have UDFA signings or camp invites, and guys like Johnny Dixon, we hope get healthy and get themselves an opportunity in the league. So there's a lot of different things out there. But especially this time of year now, Justin, it's got me on the mind of roster management. And we've been thinking about that for, it seems like that's the new status quo. Like if you're a college football coach and your second or third thought after you pop your head off the pillow isn't about roster management, what are we going to do to keep this guy or go get this guy or something like that, then you're probably not living in the real world. But again, as of the day that we're recording this Tuesday, the transfer portal window will close after today. So all the names that have gone into the transfer portal are closed for now. That doesn't mean you can't go get somebody. And obviously you would have to potentially get somebody on campus in like mid-May to be able to finish up whatever school they're at currently and then transfer to Penn State and begin that whole process. But there was this feeling that there would be a mass exodus from Penn State into the transfer portal after the blue-white game, and that there's the conversation about the amount of scholarships you can have and the amount of players you can have on the roster, but NIL has really changed that conversation so much that it's like, if you can pay the guy, then it doesn't matter if that's coming from a scholarship or from Happy Valley United, for instance. So it's just changed, and if anything, I'm curious how you feel about this transfer portal window cycle and I would say the lack of activity.
Because I think it's tricky, right? I mean, I think there, if a player is not in the portal, you don't know if you want to, from an internal standpoint, you're trying to judge if someone's going to jump in the portal, if you have to push someone out, if someone's available to come to you. And really, going into the summer, you want to start making plans for the fall. Like, it's really hard to replace your number one receiver if he just jumps in the portal, if you had no signs of that happening, right? So, but with that, there's some stability that you've seen from just the roster management throughout Penn State's recruiting process, transfer portal process, just the minimal movement around the board. And I think that holds true when you're trying to build a culture in this environment. And I think setting expectations the right way is clear and critical there, understanding guys that need to compete. So like the knee-jerk things to jump into the portal, I won't say don't exist, but maybe are diminished a little bit within the Penn State program. I mean, just based on what we're seeing from the outcomes of guys jumping in or that case are moving forward.
And again, at the time of this recording, we know Keandre Lambert-Smith into the portal, off to Auburn. I don't believe Malik Mega has found a new home yet. I'm not entirely sure about that. And Devon Townley Jr. has once again put his name in the portal. So it was, I think there are people who are expecting a dozen names to potentially go into the portal. And it does speak to the way James Franklin and company have built this program. And they talk about all the time is that it's about the interpersonal relationships and developing those relationships, not only with the players, but the families, and really preaching and living up to this environment of, we are here to develop you into the best player you can be as a college athlete and potentially as a professional athlete. So it's all those things going together, and that pitch seems to be landing with Penn State. There are concerns out there in terms of how much money Penn State is really raising in this NIL arms race. Perfect example is how quietly, not so quietly, but quietly, Ohio State spent, allegedly, $34 million this past cycle, however you want to phrase it,
$34 million
on coaches and players. Wild to hear, what was it, last summer the number was $13 million to maintain the roster, and it was like 34 to really...
It was 14.
It's getting out of control. And if these numbers are accurate, but then it's like, okay, naturally Penn State fans are like, well, what's Penn State doing in that department?
Well, I have a theory in the sense of, yes, you have to spend money to a level, right? And then it's more about matching your culture with the talent acquisition and finding the right players that fit within that. I don't want to beat a dead horse about Michigan, regardless of them pressing the rules in different areas. Sure. But it's more so finding those areas and where are you spending your cash at? Because I think you can only get into an arms race if your supporters or your boosters are prepare for an arms race. Like if they're not going to release the funds, like you can't play that game. So we have to come up with another strategy. And another strategy is like has to be stuck on more sustainable and development and continue to provide that opportunity to play, but still get money, right? Whether it's a provide opportunities of service, whether it's like bringing deals to the table, however that looks, but it's finding those different opportunities, right? Whether it's like we do with Lockdown U, where it's a profit sharing type of operation to try to set up and build a brand for the position groups and do those different type of things where they can be sustainable and you can have a business operation. So I think there's just different ways each ecosystem can attack it. And I think with Penn State, when you talk about if it's turned into an arms race, it's like kind of signing up like as a distance runner to get into a sprint. Into like a 100-meter race. And it's like, well, just run a 1600-meter race. Like run your race. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then that's when you can win. And I think the teams that do that across the country tend to come through and shine at the end. But, you know, it takes patience, and it's hard when you're competing against the people that are doing something that just seems easier, right? Like, let's raise money. Let's get these people. But there's a great example where you can point to, like a Texas A&M, where they spent all the money on the players. Coach got fired and everybody left. So
Miami spent a ton of money.
Miami. So they're on the upswing though. They're still fighting, but I think Texas A&M is a better example because they spent the most and it didn't really work out and they got a lot of recruits, the talent. But I think just from the draft theme, Lewis Riddick has said something this past week. It's like, there's a difference between talent collection and team building. I think that's where we're going to be in college football is the teams that are picking, are we building a team or are we collecting talent, right? And it's like when you're building a team, you're getting specific pieces that fill up your organization. And it's not everybody because everyone's not going to fit in those specific pieces versus the talent acquisition or collecting talent race where it's just like, hey, we got to get anybody that's good in this bucket. So this has to be just more of a curated search when it comes to talent acquisition across the board. Until the new rules come in place, there's a salary cap and you can start doing all that stuff.
whenever they get around to doing that, I think we're all ready for it.
Right.
Insiders and outsiders. One thing I kind of want to wrap up on here, and this is not to throw shade at quarterback Drew Aller, but immediately after the NFL draft wound down, and then you see everybody looking ahead to 2025 and the over speculation that Shadur Sanders is going to be the number one overall pick. So stuff like that. I'm like, I don't buy it one iota. He might go in the first because of exposure, and I think he's talented, but I look at him like there's problems with the elements. Anyway, my point being is that there are some people who are saying, will Drew Aller be a first round pick next year if he were to choose to go out? And even some people saying, would he be the first overall pick if he chose to go out next year? I think that is not the crux of why I'm bringing it up. The crux of why I'm bringing it up is that 2 years ago, I think there were plenty of people who would have thought Drew Aller, Nick Singleton would have both been three and done. I don't think that anymore. There's no part of me watching Drew Aller last season. Even if he has some monumental leap this year, then yeah, but honestly, incremental progress of the way we saw his game as a freshman to a sophomore and now to a junior, I think it's very unlikely he goes out next year. I don't think it's the best thing for him anyways. I could see Nick potentially going next year. I could see Nick having value in coming back for 2025. But it's so interesting how, again, we attach these star ratings, all these hype and excitement about guys coming out of high school. And then in reality, it's like, oh, man, everybody had enormous expectations for 2023. And, oh, man, maybe it'll really pay off in 2024. The likelihood for me is that probably the best thing for Drew and Nick is stick around here till 2025. Again, that's unless you just tear the world apart in 2024, in which case we'll all shut up and say thank you. It's just so funny how things change over time.
You're making a great point, and it's another theme that, like, I was just talking with some of my friends within the industry where, like, even the theme of the NFL favoring younger players isn't necessarily true anymore. Like, they're taking players that are staying in school longer and longer, whether it's like the drafting guys that are 23 years old. From the stats that are happening, because I know when I came out, it was like a junior's draft. Like, it was like, if you're too old, if you're 22, 23, it was like, all right, you're starting to diminish value. Now it's changing because everyone's starting to put that quality control around that draft pick. Not that the wild guys, the high talented problem childs don't necessarily get in the league, but they're minimized now, right? Like, so I'm just saying with that, there's a there's a full understanding or comprehensive eval of the player that is now going into the NFL. And so they're taking that more mature player, that guy like a Bo Nix, that Michael Penix, like these, they're reaching for a guy. They just signed a guy, Kirk Cousins, in the offseason. Now they're drafting Michael Penix that had two knee surgeries, 24 years old, everything against the old theme of what you don't do in the draft, but they're doing it now for the sake of what's happening in the NFL. And, you know, the NFL rookie scale is not the same anymore. So when you get into the NFL, like the development of time is not there. Like either you figure it out or they ship you out. I mean, and that's what's trickling down in college. So guys, make sure we figure this thing out and put those skills to use, because yeah, the clock is ticking. So I would stay in college even more so nowadays than back then. Now you have NIL. There's just no rush to get to the NFL, to be completely honest.
Well, and it also makes me reflect on guys that sat out for bowl games.
Yeah, 100%.
What are you doing it for? Like,
I mean, now it makes you really wonder.
You nailed it on the head. I think it was in the lead up to the Peach Bowl or maybe in reaction to it. And you're like, I thought sitting out a bowl game was for surefire first day guys. Maybe day two, and by day two I mean second round guys, right?
I'd say top 10, yeah, top
right. 10. But like, think of the number of guys Penn State and a number of other colleges, guys sitting out and be like, oh, I'm gonna get ready for the draft. And I was like, was it worth it? Because you could have come back and you still could have made money. You actually might have made more money potentially if you had a real
but
big
this is out. This is what I was speaking to about that gap of like what your actual value is versus like where you're actual talent level is that you're being judged on. And it's realistic and actually getting good advice, because there's a lot of people that benefit from these players like jumping into the draft or going to NFL, whether it's an agent, whether it's a someone diminishing their value for them to come back to school. Like that happens on the other side. So like there's a need for that gap to close, because like this is what we have, because I think everyone's trying. I just think everyone's confused. And it's like rightfully so, because we throw money in there, you throw emotion, you throw dreams, you throw all different type of things in the mix, you get some wild outcomes. And yeah, I have empathy for that situation, because I understand how dynamic it can be from being in it, outside of it, understanding from the business and working and just saying like, oh, they have no chance if like, yeah, they're going to do this, like from a social engineering standpoint. And that's just what, I mean, it's tough. Like it's tough. And it's just content. It's just the beginning, right? Because it's now trickling down to high school. We're talking about the NFL draft and all these decisions, but guys are going to start skipping out of their senior year in high school and like never finish in school. And the next thing it's just a trickle effect.
The ripple effect of that is far worse to the person than it is the athlete. That's the scary part.
That's what we got to pay attention to.
Yeah. I'm with you. There needs to be some sort of regulation that comes up soon for so many different reasons within this amorphous blob that is college football at this point in time. Because I look at a guy like Drew Auer and I'm like, I hope his 2024 is so good that he should absolutely go to the NFL draft, because that's only positive for all of us as Penn State fans. Same right. For Nick Singleton. I hope I'm proved extremely wrong, but it's hard for me to look at what Drew Auer has done thus far and seeing how his progress has been. It's not been a gigantic leap from 1 week or 1 month to the next. It's been steady incremental progress and development, and hats off to the coaching staff. So it's like, okay, wait until 2025. Hell, go 2026 if you really, really want to get yourself in a good position, because there's guys that are coming back and making themselves some really good money, and you're only making yourself a better product for later. And especially when it comes to quarterbacks, tell me Atlanta Falcons fans won't be freaking out with happiness if Kirk Cousins were to get hurt. I don't want that to happen, but if he gets hurt, and then, guys, we got Michael Penix Jr. who played in the national title game last year. Oh, we took him in the first round. We all hated this. Now he steps in with all these weapons on offense. Backup quarterback has never been more important and never been a bigger investment. If you don't have that number two guy, your whole season could be dead in a matter of weeks. And he's not going to be a huge wins above replacement sort of guy, to use the baseball stat, but damn, you need that position now. And then especially we were talking about offensive line, the guys Penn State sent to the NFL draft. The amount of really good elite offensive linemen in the NFL is so small. There are guys that get insulated, and then when you get down on that depth chart, there are certain guys there where it's like, these guys could be in the CFL and the UFL tomorrow, and no one would miss a beat. And that's a lack of development that we have seen. That's not just because of the NIL era. That's just development getting worse, unfortunately, over time. I could do 4 hours on this. But at the same time, I'm like, guys, spend the time, because we as Penn State fans will benefit, of course, biased that way. But I could see such great potential for Drew Aller and Nick Singleton individually. Such special athletes and human beings from what we understand. Give it time. Don't rush, because you have more time than you realize. I think that's the scary thing. We all talk about injury. I get injury being a huge deterrent in all this, but still, there's so much more that you can soak in from this time at Penn State.
Most definitely.
That's all I got. I'll get off my soapbox. To all of you watching and listening, thank you all so much for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, and rate us. Hop in the comment section on YouTube. Tell us what you think. How do you feel about what Penn State has coming up for 2024? The guys that did go to the NFL draft, UDFAs, camp invites, all that sort of stuff. And how are you feeling maybe about the 2025 NFL draft? Will Penn State see a lot of guys head to the draft next year? Let us know. Tell us what you think. We're into May now. So, you know, we're just waiting for training camp at this point. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.